Hello, welcome back to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. I'm really happy to see you here today, but I also want to remind you that I'm available on YouTube at Pastor Vic's Nuggets. I'm available on Facebook, my page as Pastor Vic's Nuggets, and of course you can go to my website, which is PastorVicsNuggets.com. And on my website, you can find copies that you'll be able to download of the video, of the audio, if you just want audio, or even the notes that I use to prepare these messages. Any case, again, it's good to see you, and we want to talk today about the power of decision. And my last two posts had to do with taking every thought captive, and that was a reference to 2 Corinthians 10:5. It's important for us as believers to not allow our imaginations to run away with itself, because sometimes our imagination can lead us to pretty dark places. The scriptures very clearly said that God has not given us a spirit of fear, and that's timidity, but of love, power, and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. And that sound mind simply means that we have control. We can control our thoughts. We can control what thoughts we allow to come into our minds. We can control the thoughts that impact our emotions. Because sometimes when we allow our emotions to run away, we start making very bad decisions. Now, Romans 8:14 says, and let me quote that, says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God," the Holy Spirit of God, "these are the sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear." You didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. You see, fear impacts our ability to make the right choice. Recently, someone said to me that we're supposed to fear God. And it's true. If we look in the Old Testament, the scriptures do say that we need to fear God. But there are some important differences in the way we translate the word fear. And there's a big difference between reverential fear or awe of God's majesty and glory, and fear that's produced by terror. There's a big difference between those two things. See, those who don't know God through Jesus Christ should be in terror, for hell awaits for them. But however, as born-again believers in Jesus Christ, we are under the covering of God's grace, and we must be in a place of honoring Him. We are sons and daughters under the covenant of grace, which was purchased by Jesus through his crucifixion, his death, and his resurrection. You see, we should not be in terror of anyone or anything, for God is with us. Now, I'll admit that we may experience the emotion of fear, but fear should not dictate our actions. An acronym, or I'm going to take the word fear, and we're going to look at each letter, F-E-A-R. And an acronym for fear is false evidence appearing real. Most of the time, when we are in fear, it's based on false evidence. We are in fear for no reasonable or good reason. Now, we're new creatures in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that. It says that the old has passed away and all things have become new. That means we need to begin to think differently and act differently. We change as we learn to be led by the Spirit who dwells within us, and we begin to do those things that the Holy Spirit is prompting us to do. You see, it all boils down to this. You must decide, you must make a choice to follow Jesus. This means to do those things that He wants you to do, and to avoid those things He doesn't want you to do. It's all about the decisions that you make in your life. Now, the issue of fear is very real, but the problem is not with the emotion of fear, but how you respond to the fearful event. Do we act righteously or in a right manner before God, or do we act unrighteously? You see, it's important to decide before you face a crisis how you're going to act. The worst time to try and make a right decision is while you are in the midst or in the middle of the crisis. So you need to learn how to decide before the temptation. I will not lie. I will not steal. I will not cheat. I will honor my parents. I will not covet what other people have. I will not commit murder. You see, we must dwell on these things, for Satan wants to tempt you to do evil. And in all ways, in all circumstances, we must decide to honor the Lord God with our words and our actions. Now, what happens if you don't make a decision because of fear? Well, if you don't make a decision, the devil will. I think of Judas in the Gospels, Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. It says that Satan entered into Judas and caused him to do this terrible thing which he had done. But nevertheless, Judas had to be in a position where he opened himself up to the devil and his temptations. Fear will open you up to the devil and his temptations. And so be aware of that you need to make a decision to walk in righteousness and not in fear. You see, if you don't make a decision, others will make a decision for you. I recall the story in Exodus chapter 32 about the golden calf. Remember that? Remember Moses was up on the mount with God and he left Aaron in charge, his brother. And what did Aaron do? He listened to the people, and the people caused him to create an idol. You see, others will whisper into your ear. Others will try to tempt you into doing what you know is wrong. And we have to be in a position that we're not afraid to say no to people and say, no, I will follow after the Lord. You see, if you don't make a decision, then the situations and circumstances of life will make a decision for you. I refer you to 1 Samuel 25, the story about David, and remember Nabal and Abigail. And Nabal was a scoundrel. You know, he made decisions that were unrighteous. He made decisions to reject the friendship of David, and it eventually cost him his life. And yet Abigail, his wife, made righteous decisions. She made the right decisions. And she went before David and presented him with gifts, and we know that as a result of that, that the town or the village or the clan of Nabal was spared, although Nabal himself died. Now again, why do people make these kinds of decisions? Well, sometimes they don't make a decision and they get swept along with the evil that others will do. Now I want you to understand something. We were meant to have dominion. We were meant to be in control of our situations and circumstances. Genesis 1:26 says the following. Then God said, "Let us make man in our own image, according to our own likeness. Let them," speaking of mankind, "have dominion over the fish of the seas, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." You see, we were never meant to be a slave to the bondage of fear. We can always find a way out by making the right decisions. You see, we're not called to be ruled by emotions, but we are called to be ruled by our will. We need to decide. Now, Billy Graham, who is probably the most well-known evangelist in this century, and his success is attributed to bringing people to a point of making the right decision. D.L. Moody, also, from the early part of the 1900s, had a 30 to 40% success rate in evangelism. Charles Finney, another evangelist, had a success rate of 60 to 70%. And Finney would often say, "I don't preach to their emotions. I preach to their will." We are called to exercise our will according to God's word. And if we will do that, we'll find our way out of every negative circumstance. You see, decision is a choice. And it's a decision is a choice that determines your character. The Latin word for character is dokemi, and in the New Testament, it means to be tested. In English, we use the word habits to stand for character. Therefore, your character is the sum total of all of your habits. You see, throughout life, you've been tested, and the result is either good or bad. It's not about what you intend to do, but it's about what you actually do. I remember a person I used to know used to use this expression, and he said, every person is a legend in their own minds. Doesn't that make sense? We all think what we would do. We all think we would do the right thing. But it's in the fires of the trial and tribulation that the truth becomes evident. We either come through as gold purified by the fire or as dross, which is skimmed away. There's a gentleman by the name of Samuel Smiles. And again, he was active in the late 1800s, but he coined a phrase which I think really speaks to this, what we're talking about here. And this is what he said. He said, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Isn't that powerful? And it's so true. It's a process. It's a process of trial and error. But nevertheless, if we will follow hard after the Lord, we will end up where He wants us to be, which is ultimately where we want to be. Doesn't God say in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you," says the Lord, "thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." See, this is what God says. And to see the fruit of it, you must do it God's way. Habits? Well, habits are formed by repeated decisions. You never make an unimportant decision because all decisions lead to habits. The absence of a decision is a decision not to act. Those habits either build you up or they'll tear down your character. Listen. God's grace can break bondages. I think we all agree with that. But God's grace cannot make decisions for you. So many people are waiting for God to do what God has told him to do. But if God has told you to do something, then he intends for that you would do it and he would help you through it. But it's usually fear that holds them back. Fear of failure. Fear of the consequences, the unexpected consequences, or the fear of loss. God's grace makes it available, but it's our decision that brings it to pass. God's intent is that we become more like Jesus every day. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there's freedom. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord and being transformed, being changed into the same image as Jesus from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. That was 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. You see, ultimately, that's what we're supposed to do. Our desire should be to be more like Jesus. Not to be more like a celebrity or more like a famous person or more like a person who has tremendous power and wealth, but to be more like Jesus. And if we will seek him, then we'll find everything that we truly have been looking for in this life. And so I want to encourage you this day, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things that you need will be added to you. Amen. And so I look forward to seeing you the next time as we continue in this idea or this series about making decisions that will cause us to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Until then, God bless you. Look forward to seeing you next time.